Live from the smoldering ruins of King Kamehameha's Alligator Nursery in Lahaina, Hawaii, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, actuarial genius, mentor to young insurance agents, herpetological expert, and retired professional reptile rodeo clown, a man who hangs five because he can't hang ten, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring professional husband, author, inventor, statesman, and philanthropist, the longtime legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best-smelling of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, hula master, marksman, sculptor, a man's man who can pick pineapples without wearing gloves, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers that are here, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Thank you.
We're back. Well,
start the evening off by thanking Alan and Greg for moving a mattress into the basement.
You know, I thought that was going to be rather easy, Allie. Usually you get a top mattress, it's not bad, but it's gel.
This thing was,
yeah.
I think I have to go back to my original statement that it's wet somewhere on there. And this is Rick's senior citizen mattress.
You notice they had Sue put it downstairs for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of like a dog's mattress.
Got in trouble.
Over here. You know, Rick, here. The basement.
Treat, treat, treat.
dogs are both eyeing that up and saying, I'll sleep on that.
You know, speaking of eyeing things up, as I was saying here, listening to that fantastic opening.
That was.
I spun around, I glanced over at the shelf, and there's a picture frame that says Memories, and it's you and two other fellows. Dave Johnson and Jerry Sievers.
Yeah.
But you are wearing a black suit. You have like this snidely whiplash mustache, and you're wearing a swastika on your arm.
Okay, smart guy. That was from Sound of Music. I was one of the Nazis that ran the Von Trapp family out of Austria.
You look like a shifty Nazi in that one.
Yeah, just,
all that for that. That
I just watch
wow.
it. I just watch it. So,
look at it.
I can't see it from here. Oh, I see it.
Yeah. I was watching some episode of The Crown where Prince Harry apparently went to some costume party wearing a Nazi uniform.
He did. He did. You're right.
Caused like a big stink.
Oh, it did. What an idiot.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay. On my way here tonight, I stopped to get
you
some.
You ran over a dog.
I stopped to get some brake snacks, the donut holes here.
I thought you were going to say brake fluid.
I did too.
Man, I gave up on that. And I go up and I check out, and the guy behind the counter is a real dude. He's major.
A dude?
He's majorly inked up. He's he's got skulls, and he's got dragons, and at the elbows, he's got like the spider web tattoos.
Oh, yeah, cool.
You know, he's even got tattoos up the neck.
Are they professional tattoos of the type that you do with ink and cigarette ashes?
I think there's combo there. Okay. Anyway, he adds up my stuff.
He's love, trying to, hate.
Not that. Behind the counter,
prison tats.
He adds it all up, and when he adds it up, he says that 666.
Uh-oh.
And he says, whoa, that's a number. And I leaned forward and I said, I'm the devil. He kind of steps back a little bit. Not funny, dude. I don't know what possessed me, but when he said that, yeah, I'm the devil. So I scared the scary man. Speaking of smoke, I was coming through the main drag of town.
Smoke?
And, oh, there was some vehicle must have went through having some, you mentioned brake trouble, because it smelled like somebody threw a bushel of cat hair on a burning tire. It was bad.
A bushel of cat hair on a burning tire. That's pretty good.
You burn a lot of cats, do you?
You don't know.
Rick, sometimes, you know, like with this show, you got to use your imagination. It's not time for that yet.
No, it's not a commercial.
Okay.
Oh, this is something I was going to ask you about. Larry Walters.
Okay.
Do you know who Larry Walters was?
Do I owe him money?
No.
Okay, well, then I don't care.
Nicknamed Lawn Chair Larry.
Oh, is that the guy that balanced chairs all over himself? Or?
No. That's the guy that tied balloons to his lawn chair and floated up in them.
Okay.
Like up.
You know, that that always seems like an urban legend to me. That some guy, you know, tied balloons to a lawn chair. But apparently this guy really did it.
No, I've read about this guy.
Yeah, it said that he...
It gets to a certain level, and then the atmospheric pressure starts to affect his balloons, from what I recall.
It says that Larry went out into his backyard and attached balloons to his lawn chair and filled them with helium. And he put on a parachute and used belts to strap himself to the chair and took his pellet gun and a CB radio, sandwiches, beer. I'd say he had beer before he went. And a camera, you know. His friends cut the rope that tied his chair to the Jeep, and his lawn chair went up quickly. Soon he was at 15,000 feet.
15,000 feet. Wait, 15,000 feet. The beer's getting cold.
Oh, dear, it's raining.
At first he was afraid to shoot any balloons because he thought it might change the way the chair pointed and he would fall out.
Well, this is strapped in.
Yeah, I know, but face first is not going to feel good.
He could not control which way he moved. He slowly passed over Long Beach and into the space above Long Beach Airport. So he used his CB to call someone and tell him to tell the airport that he was up there, not to let planes hit him.
What year was this, Rick?
Let's see. 1982.
Okay.
Same year I went to law school. All sorts of dangerous things. After 45 minutes, he shot at several balloons, and then he dropped his pellet gun.
Well, why was this never a movie?
You can't make it up.
It says that finally the helium seeped out of the balloons enough that he started to come down on its own. He was trailing the ropes that had tied him to the Jeep before he left off. They hit the power line and blew the blackout in the Long Beach neighborhood for 20 minutes. And then he climbed to the ground.
So he knocked some power out.
Yeah.
Wow, he's lucky.
That was pretty good. And
surely he got arrested, right?
You know, oh, yeah, he got arrested and fined $4,000.
Okay, so a lot
which is more than he made in 1982, I'm guessing, if he had this kind of time on his hands. What kind of a balloon was he using? He had to have a good-sized balloon.
He had like the balloons that the Weather Service uses to do
weather balloons. That'd be good. But there had to be a lot of alcohol involved in this decision to do this.
Yeah, he eventually went out and shot himself in the forest. Okay. So, I mean,
that's the end of the movie.
That would be the end of the forest. But this article, I was reading about him.
The same day?
No, okay. years later after it didn't turn into.
It couldn't handle the fame.
It couldn't handle. Idiot.
Wow.
Let's see. Other lawn chair balloonists, he inspired other people to try it. And it says Ken Couch, gas station owner in Bend, Oregon. In 2007, flew 240 miles in his lawn chair.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
He had 105 large helium balloons tied to his lawn chair, and he had a BB gun to shoot the balloons and start going down on his flight.
It makes more sense to have a few more balloons. That way you can control your descent,
yeah,
right?
Apparently, yeah.
So he's had a little more thought into this after watching the or listening to this guy.
And then it says,
when did he kill himself?
He's still alive, I think. On contemplating.
April 2008, a Brazilian Roman Catholic priest from Brazil, Adair Antonio de Carli, flew using a chair and 1,000 helium balloons. He'd not checked the weather forecast and got caught in a storm. He had a GPS, but did not know how to use it and crashed into the sea. They found his body near an offshore oil platform.
There you go.
Wow.
So I just thought that was kind of cool. Just seems like the sort of thing we should have done back in the day.
Oh, but you don't have to be young to do that. Mm-hmm. You can do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Are you saying that the three of us could go up on that sofa?
Yeah, enough balloons. Take a sofa.
We could do a show.
Take
from
something
there.
Comfortable.
Well, here we go.
Okay. But, you know, they cut him loose and he goes up to 15,000 feet. There should be a sweet spot, though, where you would hover just off the ground.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, where you wouldn't just go up 15,000 feet. You know, you'd kind of float just 10, 15 feet off
the
ground.
You're like controlling a hot air balloon.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm guessing he didn't do a lot of science on his project.
I'm guessing there was a lot of beer drinking going on to the science.
I got to think.
Hey, boys, I'm going to put some balloons on some.
Yeah, do it, man.
I got to think someplace there was a brother standing there going, you know, you should try this.
Yeah.
And I'll take pictures.
How'd he run his CB radio? He'd have to have a battery, wouldn't he? He must have had like a walkie-talkie type CB radio.
Yeah, I don't know if those were around back then, you know, the little hand walkie-talkies. Had to have something there.
Well, they had bag phones and stuff like that. Sure. Even the Army had those crank phones that, you know, they were big.
Yeah, like in MASH or...
Yeah. Well, it's your imagination. A guy got the wherewithal to put together a lawn chair balloon launch can find a phone like that, surely.
And don't call me Shirley. I...
The other thing is how many weather balloons could a guy go out and purchase before the government started looking into you?
He told them when he bought them that they were doing a TV commercial.
TV commercial.
And the person said, okay, well, as long as it's TV.
I would have said, I own a used car lot.
Yeah, what is it about balloons that sell used cars?
I don't know. I like that stick man that flops around.
No, I don't like
no,
the
stick.
You know what they...
He bothers you, doesn't he?
What they don't have anymore.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they used to have, like, the colored propellers that would spin in the breeze?
Yeah.
Used car dealers would have
them. Yeah, they'd put them on the antenna.
No, they'd hang them from a line.
Yeah, those are the bigger ones.
Yeah. They should have those again, don't you think?
I
think they would sell a lot more
used
cars.
I just
want
to be the guy that had to hang the balloons on all those cars. Here's your balloons. Go out and have some fun.
Okay, so, Greg, if you worked at a used car dealership...
I would be doing the balloon thing.
Train the three of us. Not one of us is a mechanic.
No.
Greg,
so we're not going to do anything there.
Greg would be the guy in the back room that the salesman would always have to go talk to. Well, I got to go see what Greg says.
See what the boss. I don't want him coming out here and throwing a fit.
He says he can't go that low.
Well, let me see that little... Big guy comes in.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
He's in the back room. Go get him.
I just went through this procedure with my daughter. Used car shopping.
Isn't that all kind of a thing of the past, though?
Pretty much is now. Or is it?
Not if you go to a used car dealer.
Oh. Can't you just do it on the phone now?
Well, you got to. Don't you want to drive it or see it before you buy it? I'm not going to... buy a used car
that?
Without having a look at it.
What was the car company a few years ago that came out and said, you know, we're not doing this. I mean, our cars have a flat price. It's not like you bargain for them. This is what it is. And
if you don't want it, don't even come in.
We don't have salesmen. You know, we just have somebody that will fill out the paperwork. We don't bargain over a car. What was that? What was that car there?
That's a
fan. Is it the K car?
Isn't that a fantastic system?
Oh, God, yeah.
I think that was who was doing that. They're not around, are they?
No, they're not. They were built to last 5 years, I think, and that was it.
You know, I did learn the code. You have to, when you deal with them, you have to say, I want the off-the-lot price.
Ooh. Oh, that's the word, huh?
Off-the-lot means that.
And were you prepared to walk away?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We walked away. We drove to another spot.
Yeah.
And then
you come back and say, hey, I got it cheaper.
No.
Okay.
Did not.
Once so you, the guy come out and give you the one-finger salute. Yeah, I'd be happy in that.
I was going to say, once you leave a used car lot, you really can't come back.
Yeah, you've got to be able to walk away from the used car lot. If you can't walk away, then you might as well just go in with a big bag of cash and say, take all you want.
Okay, I'm not a bargainer. I do not like to bargain. I don't want to haggle. I want to know what the real price is. And then, you know, that's, if there's, you know, like a lot of countries other than the United States, they have this policy of they expect you to haggle.
Right, correct.
Oh, this is expected.
Well, you have the person in your family to do that.
Oh, she loves it.
I got one that will break a guy's back over 15
really?
Bucks. Oh, God, yes.
Lisa bargain, will she?
Oh, the poor Mexican kid down on Chiclets. Just, you know.
Sarah, I mean, bargain?
Oh, man.
She lives for that.
Oh.
Like you go like to Mexico and there's some kid selling like coconuts carved in the shape Chiclets. Of a duck or something or whatever.
Yeah. 10 cents. I got a nickel. This little kid hasn't eaten in 2 days.
We were in Tijuana.
Why? Did you get lost?
We had gone to a trip to San Diego, and it was, I really don't know why I was there. Other than, you know, her...
To bring the money out.
Her relatives, you know, live there in San Diego, so we were staying there, and then we met a group of her friends that were vacationing in San Diego, and the whole group of us
we've got to go to Tijuana.
Went down to Tijuana to do some...
Shopping.
To shop for some jewelry and blah, 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 you know. And I get down there, and you get into Tijuana, the main stretch, and...
Is it a rat hole?
Oh, yeah. And it's just like stall after stall after stall of the same thing, just sort of just repeating. It's like walking through a Fred Flintstone cartoon, and the background just stays, you know, every so many feet, it's the same thing over and over and over. You know, they had leather goods, they had jewelry, they had, you know,
junk.
It was very limp junk, yeah. Very like, pinatas. You
know, like in Florence, Italy.
And then the streets are swarming with these, you know, these families and these little kids that are following you around, hounding you to buy packs of gum. You know, like, that's going to keep their family alive. I'm not going to buy gum! Anyway, we've been down there, and I'm just, like, haggled to death. I can't wait to get out of Tijuana. And we get back up to where, you know, you get on the shuttle to get you back into the land of E Pluribus Unum. But we're waiting. It's not there. It hasn't arrived. So now we're at the mercy. You know, like, they see us, and they're like, they've got nowhere to go. So they swarm in on us. And we got this jewelry salesman comes up there. He's got this on his one arm. It's just completely covered with necklaces, right? Like silver necklaces. And he's up there working on Sarah. And he's got like 50 of them from his elbow to his wrist. And then up higher, he's got these others. And he's really hawking the ones down lower. And Sarah says, I want this. No. Those are not for sale. Then why do you have them on your arm? Those are not for sale. These are not for you. You want these down here. And she said, no, I want that one up here. No. And then he says, these are much too expensive. You want these down here. No, I think I want this one up here. This one's $150. And she said, I'll give you $8. No, senorita. You look at these down here. I sell these for $50. No. I want one of these good ones up here. He said, but those are 125.
So he came down 75.
He's down. And so this is going on and on. And I'm just like pulling my hair, and I'm getting all, I can't fidgety. I can't stand it. And I'm just like, God, make this guy go away. And I'm like, no, thank you. We're not interested in the necklaces. And Sarah gives me the evil eye. No,
not done yet.
I'll give you eight. No. These I cannot let go for under $100.
Oh, he's down to 100 now.
So they just keep going and going and going, and I'm waiting for this bus. It's not coming. And she's at 75, and then she's at 60, and now she's down to 40, and just keeps going down. And finally, she gets down to $10. $10. The guy's like, ay. He's, like, he's getting worn out, right? And she said, no, eight, that's my number. And finally, I pull out $10, said, sold! I'll take that one right there. And he says, oh, very good. He pulls it off again. And Sarah turns around to me, why did you do that? I was going to get it for eight. And I said, I couldn't stand it anymore.
It's worth the extra $2 just to have this tooth pulled.
I just want this to go away. Wow. I just want it done. I probably would have started at 100.
Hey, it is commercial time now. Greg, you're up. We got a new commercial.
Oh, it's from Uncle Dennis. He's spreading his wings here, right?
Directly into your mic.
Today's episode is brought to you by Uncle Den's Practically Perfect Pickled Eggs. Tired of going into your favorite drinking establishment only to find that gallon jar on the bar contains nothing but putrid, low-grade pickled eggs as rubbery as a pencil head and flavored with grease and grime of 1,000 unwashed hands? Right up your alley, Allie. Well, suffer no longer, my friends. Your favorite culinary genius, Uncle Dan, is proud to introduce the newest treat, pickled eggs. You heard me right. Pickled eggs, steeped in a barrel of Ringhausen's famous apple cider vinegar, not for 7 hours, but 7.5 hours.
Years.
Oh, years. Wow.
It's
even
like,
better.
It's like Jack Daniel's whiskey, man.
Wow. And seasoned to mouth-watering perfection with Uncle Den's one-of-a-kind blend of secret spices and secret flavorings. Is this kind of like his deviled eggs? He's got a secret.
I guess
he's not giving that away. And what kind of eggs does Uncle Den use? Well, that's a secret, too. Rest assured that they're not chicken eggs. So the next time you're told to bring something to the next family feast, look no further than Uncle Den's Practically Perfect Pickled eggs. Taste like they're laid like chickens, but they're not. Very good. We have to.
Did you ever have pickled egg at the bar?
Yes, I have.
Have you, Greg?
I've been drunk a lot of times, but I've never ever been that drunk at a bar.
To reach into the jar and have a pickled egg?
Or a pickled pig's feet.
We were in the bar one night. This was years ago. And it was me and brother Dennis.
You know,
and this probably is inspiration for that new creation.
Tickling the part of your brain that says bar just brings up a flood of interesting tales. And all right, so in the bar with Dennis.
A lot of dead memories
there. It
was
Dennis and I and our close personal friend, Larry Moose Clunk. And we were sitting in the bar and looking at the various food items, I guess you could call them that, that were available, and we decided, well, we're going to try one of everything.
Oh, God.
And cut it up and share it. So we started off with one of the giant pickles floating in a big jar of brine. And you know, it was a big, giant dill pickle. Still juicy, not bad.
Crunchy?
Yeah. It
really?
Still had a pretty good crunch to it. Went through various beef jerkies, your Slim Jim.
Do they have like a fork that you fork them out with, or do you just reach in and grab a pickle?
Now that I think about it, I think Larry just dove right in.
That wouldn't surprise me. I just can't believe you'd be eating something like that.
That's what I was about to say. You're going to grab something out of a jar of liquid, Rick, that a whole bunch of unidentified hands have gone into?
He had to be drunker, and you know why.
I think it's pretty late at night.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. All right.
So, I think not just the food was pickled.
Yeah.
They had the pickled eggs.
Pickled eggs.
That's my first adventure with a pickled egg in my life. You ever had a pickled egg?
No.
They're like, it's like a hard-boiled egg,
but
way
pickled.
Way more rubbery.
Didn't say rubbery is a pencil eraser?
And they're tangy from, being in the the vinegary pickle
right,
juice.
The brine, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the thing that was the most interesting, I believe, was they had a pickled sausage that was called a Big Mama. Remember those, Big Mama?
Some of
the bars used to have those. It was a pickled sausage that was, it was very tender, but kind of dense. It was a culinary experience in and of itself.
Did you ever have another one?
Have I ever had another one? I don't know that they make them anymore.
Have you ever had another pickled egg?
You know, now that same jar may still be sitting in that same tavern with one floater still in it. Yeah, ruin the sausage.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That kind of puts you off right there, don't it?
A long way for that one.
Okay. And then we finished with a pizza. I don't know what it is about, like a barroom pizza where, they just have a basic pizza oven. They pull a frozen pizza out of the freezer and put it in the pizza oven. But God, were they good. I'll have another.
Just get two out. Yes, they were very good.
Yeah, you're so dumb. Well, cook one up. I'm going to eat it on the way home.
Suzanne says that nothing makes pizza like beer. She says it's like the two things that are just made to be had together.
Yeah,
she's very right on that. Absolutely.
Like bacon and tomato, pizza and beer.
Apparently.
Well, I believe that. Well, and is there a pizza parlor that doesn't serve beer? Like Shakey's?
Is that still a thing?
I didn't know that was still around.
And, the weird part is, I've never been to a Shakey's Pizza in my life.
No.
But they used to advertise like crazy on TV.
With banjo players,
Shakey's
right?
Shakey's Pizza. They'd have a red and white striped shirt guy with a skimmer hat and a banjo.
So I could have got a job at Shakey's.
And the garters on his sleeves. Yeah, well, I don't know if you could have or not, right? I've heard you play banjo.
Ooh.
Is that a strumming type banjo or is that a
picking
type banjo?
The little one's probably better for strumming, and the heavier one's more of a picking banjo.
Oh, he does have two down there.
Bugs Bunny played a strumming banjo.
Yeah, I know.
Bugs Bunny.
Well, Bugs Bunny's my hero when it comes to banjo playing.
That's my standard for banjo, or him and Steve Martin.
Here's the thing about the banjo. Banjos are open tuned. You can just pick it up and start strumming. You don't have to hold down the strings or nothing. It'll play a G chord.
No, well, that's great because I wouldn't.
So you're a banjo snob.
When did I say that? I love Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Do you want me to play it?
I would love to hear you play it if you could.
Ooh.
Now you made me mad.
Oh, you can probably play the Deliverance thing.
That's what I was going to think.
Yeah, I learned how to play that.
Based on vacations?
Canoeing?
So and I were camping at Mark Twain Lake and had lunch, just sitting along the lake. Had my banjo.
Some guy goes by in a boat going.
Some guy goes by in a boat. So just out of the blue, I start playing that song. Kind of looks over and goes,
"Let's go!"
Man, you should have seen him paddle.
Yeah. That's almost cruel. Are we out of time?
We're close, guys.
How does this happen? Well, I don't even know what episode it is.
Where's the sheet? It's behind you there. Give us a little information about alligator racing.
This is episode 36.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
How's that possible? And it's the drop kick.
Yes.
Explain it to those who don't know a darn thing about wrestling.
Well, that's where you go running across the wrestling mat, jump up into the air, and use both feet to kick the next guy in the chest.
You don't have to be
down.
You don't have to be a wrestler to do that, do you?
You have to be a little acrobatic. I noticed that in the cartoon picture that the alligator's wearing a onesie.
When you wrestled.
And he's wearing a mask.
Mexican.
Yeah, I know. I put a mask
like
on.
Like they won't know he's an alligator.
When you wrestled in high school, did you have onesies or did you wear those tidy things that the Harley races of the world wear?
I had a onesie.
Comfortable.
All wrestlers wear onesies.
No, I know they did. Yeah. Not professional wrestlers.
Yeah, but Harley had a one-sided, one-strap.
Yeah, he only had one strap, yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for some reason, the uniform of choice is like a Speedo for these guys back in the day.
Yeah.
Who made that command decision?
They were brave men.
Very brave.
Who was going to go say anything to you?
Exactly. A guy like that, wear whatever he wants, or he'll beat you up if you don't like it. All right, I guess
it's time. I don't see how that's possible, but I guess it is.
Another half hour is just gone, boys.
And you know what? We've got 800 views.
Keep them coming, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Tell your friends.
If you have any.
Yeah. Sometimes
it kind of goes through my mind that anybody sitting listening to this
doesn't have any friends.
Hello, my friend. You should listen to this new podcast I've been listening to.
You sound like Kermit the Frog.
You're not my friend anymore. I listened to that.
See you later.
From Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
And Kermit.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network, except no substitutes.